everybody, and welcome to Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast, episode number 52, Neil Brower interview part 3. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by Weaver's Department Store at weaversdepartmentstore.com and by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations. Folks, this is Alan Newsom, your host, and we're glad to have you with us. This is the 52nd episode. 52 weeks in a row we've been doing episodes of Two Chairs No Waiting. And like I said last week, we talked to a lot of folks at Mayberry Days, and they encouraged me to continue on. So next week, we'll be starting up our second year of podcasting here at Mayberry.com. So I just want to thank everybody for the encouragement, and I look forward to continuing. But tonight, to finish up our first season, we're going to be talking to Neil Brower. Neil Brower is the author of Mayberry 101. A great book. If you haven't read it, it's got all kinds of really nice inside things from the writers and some of the actors as well, I believe, but I know the writers. And Neil is going to talk about it in the interview, so I won't talk any more about it now, and we'll just hear it from Neil. So here's Neil Brower. Well, let's see, through some of your experiences like this, You came to decide to write this book, Mayberry 101. So, right. So what kind of drew you toward that? I'm assuming it's from teaching your class and just getting to know some of the other folks and getting interested in the behind the scenes stuff.
Well, again, I had a desire to share my knowledge of the show with other people, and I contacted Jim Clark and asked him if he would be interested if I wrote an article for his newsletter. And at that time, he was doing the bullet on paper and mailing it out. It came out 4 times a year. And I began by just writing what I would observe and what I knew from behind the scenes with my research about an episode. And then as I wrote a few of those, I asked Jim, I said, could you get me into contact with Harvey Bullock or Everett Greenbaum or some of these actors who have been involved that maybe could give me some insights or their memories of the episode I'm writing about? So he said, sure, I'll do that. And then I wrote to Harvey and a few of the other people, and Harvey was one that would really respond, as well as Everett Greenbaum and Aaron Rubin, a lot of wonderful folks. But I began to use their comments, and I found myself, I only could write 4 a year because that's how many issues the bullet came out. And I thought, well, I want to do this quicker. I'll never get through all their episodes if I wait that long.
Right.
So I approached John Blair, who is a publisher in Winston-Salem that does Southern culture. And the reason I approached them is because they had done Richard Kelly's book, The Andy Griffith Show, so I knew they would be interested in The Andy Griffith Show. And it had been long enough that they said, well, we'll do another book. They looked at some of the things I'd done for the bullet, my articles, and they said, if you want to do this, we'll publish it. So I began writing Harvey and Everett Greenbaum, and then different cast members, and they said they'd help me. And I began doing an episode at a time, and all of it was done by mail. Few of the interviews were done by phone, and one or two with Dick Link, I remember it was done in a hotel room in Mount Airy. But most of the information for that book was done through mail, correspondence. I would watch an episode, for instance, with Harvey, one that he wrote, and I would write down questions I had, and then I would mail them to him, and he would answer my questions and mail his answers back.
Wow.
So it took me about a year. It took me 13 months from the time I started that book till I finished it.
Wow.
And that was working on it about 5 or 6 days a week. I used to take one day a week off, and I'd work on it at night for about 3 or 4 hours. But that's how that book came about.
Wow.
And it was just a wonderful experience. And I know a lot of people wonder about Volume 2, so I'll tell you about that.
I wasn't going to ask.
A year after I finished, originally, John Blair wanted me to do all 249 episodes, and that would have had to have been split over 3 books. So the year after the first book came out, I started working on the second one. And I wrote to Jack Ellison, who wrote 35 of the first 2 or 3 season episodes, and he agreed that he'd work with me. So for a year, Jack and I would correspond, and he answered all my questions. So I have all of those 30-some episodes researched. Well, then I needed about 30 more to have enough for Volume 2. And the problem I was running into is that after you get through with Harvey and Everett Greenbaum and Jim Pritzell and Sam Bobrick and Bill Idelson, who was in the first book, those writing teams.
Right.
Then you've got Ellison, and the rest of the writers didn't write, but maybe six, seven, five episodes.
Right.
So I worked through Jim Clark, and I made my contacts with about five other writing teams, and I had enough to do the book. They said they would all help me. Well, then once I got through with Ellison, I started sending my questions to these other writers, and I think it scared them to death. They didn't have any idea that I was going to ask those kind of questions, and I never heard back from any of them. And so I just kind of lost my enthusiasm for it, and I had just not ready to write again. I thought about doing something maybe again with material, because so much of what I have that I have not used is based around seasons one and two, which would be wonderful for the 50th anniversary next year.
Oh yeah. Well, you could but, maybe you could release volume one and a half or something.
That would work. That would work. But it's interesting that I kind of worked through the writers, because they were more open to helping me than the cast members were, who were busy, or they would say, some of the minor cast members, look, I don't remember anything about that.
Right.
That was 2 weeks out of my life, and, you know, I did all this other stuff. So I always found out that I got better response from the writers. They knew more about what was going on, where they got the ideas from. And to me, that was fascinating.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Harvey was a member of the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board chapter online, and he would email and answer questions. So I have several questions, and I used out of your book, which I'm sure you know, that I used Harvey's information about Clifford is a raindrop. That's in it's on page 427 in Mayberry 101. If anybody wants to read it, or you can go back and listen to the podcast. But that kind of information is just fascinating to me, to find out, that the story about the septic tank, that is a real story. You know, that really happened, you know, so there's all kinds of things like that that are behind the scenes that I just eat that up. I think that is so interesting, and the skill level that those writers, and not the actors as well, but the writers had to write that information, and then the actors to take what they had written and turn it into those characters, that's always amazing to me.
Yeah.
And
it really is.
You know, in your classes, you also do a thing at Mayberry Days. You do a segment every year at Mayberry Days of Professor Brower's class.
I've done that now for a good while, probably 15 or 16 years. Yeah. And that began with Saturday, I asked Tanya again if she would be interested in me doing something where I could share kind of what I was doing in my class, but do maybe just an hour, hour and a half. And I used to do it in a playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for a number of years without any cast members. And then again, I got to the point where I had met some of them and corresponded with them, and I wanted to know if they'd join me on stage. And so over the past 10 years, we've had some wonderful guests, really have, on stage. And this year we're going to have Karen Knotts will be my guest.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be a fun thing to see. To talk to her about her dad and just... you know, because she'll see, I think, I'm sure she knows, but just to be there at Mayberry Days, she'll see how much people really think about her dad. Because, you know, I know people live in California, you know, it's not the same there somehow. People that were, even Don Knotts, of course, Don Knotts was a pretty big star even there. But, you know, just to see the love that the fans are going to have to show her for her dad, I think that's going to be good.
Well, I think it will really be an eye-opening event for her. Last year she was in attendance for a birthday celebration in Morgantown, West Virginia, and I was there. It was a two-day event. It was very well done, and she did an excellent job with her presentation, but it was just not the turnout or the type of event that you'll see in Mount Airy.
Right.
So I think it's going to be really a surprise to her.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I'm sure for you that will be a lot of fun, because now, folks, if you've never been to one of his presentations, Neil does a lot of research and upfront work before he goes in there. It's not like this on the podcast where I just kind of shoot from the hip and ask him questions. He actually prepares very well going into these and plans out what he wants to speak about. And often you usually have video clips and things related to it.
I've got those.
Always
have
those.
I was on those last week, so I got those ready. And It's going to be really interesting to talk with Karen. She's my age. She was born in 54,
uh-huh.
and is also the same age as Ron Howard. And to know what that was like to have a father that was famous, and did she ever interact with, did she ever meet Ronnie? It's just going to be, I think, really interesting.
Oh, I can't wait. That will be wonderful. And all of them have. And you spoke with, you've had Betty there and Maggie Peterson.
All the, I was a little bit worried that year. I had five of them on stage, all four of the Dillards and Maggie. And I said, Tanya, I'm not sure. She wanted me to do it. I said, I'm not sure about this, having five of them on the stage at one time. I'm not sure I can keep them all occupied or interested for an hour and a half. But it really went well. That was a great year.
I've had
Jack Ellison, the writer that I mentioned a while ago, just some wonderful guests over the years. Harvey Bullock, the music man, Earl Hagen. We've got some great guests.
Earl Hagen. Yeah, the amazing thing that you really pointed out with Earl Hagen, Earl Hagen's the one who wrote the Fishing Hole, the music for the Andy Griffith Show in general, for those that might not know. But when you were doing your presentation and pointing out how much the music of the Andy Griffith Show affects the mood and the emotional impact that it has, that, you know, I guess we're getting into kind of the behind-the-scenes geeky type TV and how it works. But that was very amazing or very informative to me, and just being able to see how that really does impact you when you hear – you know, Aunt B's theme playing in the background, or you hear the Mayberry March, the Barney type music, any of those things that we're the Mayberry Hoedown, or no, is that what it's called? Anyway, you know, those music items that you hear all the time through the show that invoke a happiness, a go lucky feel, or a sadness, and just listening to how he came up with some of that music, that was very interesting.
Had an interesting story. You may have heard this. I'll tell it to you real quickly. When Earl wrote the theme song, he wanted to rush it so that Sheldon Leonard, the producer, could hear it, and then they were going to shoot the opening. This would be right before they went on the air, maybe a few months. So Earl wrote the song, and he went to the studio that night, and he got a couple of musicians to help him, and they played it and did a rough track. And his son went along with him, and he did the finger snapping. So the next day, they played it for Shelton Leonard, and he said, gosh, that's great. I think we can use it just like it is. The demo's great. Well, after he talked with Earl a little bit longer, he found out that Earl's son did the finger snapping, and he was a minor, and they could not use him because he wasn't in the musicians, obviously, musicians union. So they had to re-record the opening with a professional finger snapper.
No, I didn't. I'd never heard that. That's good.
Yep.
That's amazing. Well, Neil, is there anything else you'd like to share with everybody? I'm hoping to have Neil back on, folks. I don't want to wear him out completely. I've already been talking to him for 40 minutes or so. But if there's anything else you'd like to share on this particular interview, I'd love to hear it.
No, maybe we can talk again. There's lots of things we can talk about.
But, definitely.
You know, if you would like for me to do it, to come on again, just let me know.
Oh, I definitely will. I can't thank you enough for just being on the show, and I really do appreciate it.
Well, you're sure welcome. And I enjoy it. You do a great job. It sounds like a professional production when I listen to it every week.
Well, I'm trying. I try to make it a little better every week, but I really appreciate it.
Well, it's one of the things I do on Wednesday morning when I'm in the office. I'll get in and listen to it while I'm doing other work, but I'm fooling. I'm not really doing other work. I'm really listening to what you got to say.
Well, there we have it, folks. Neil Brower. Neil Brower, part three, final part of our interview with Neil, and we will have him back on. And I can't thank him enough. That was very kind of him telling me that he listens to the podcast on Wednesday mornings at work. And, I just want to thank all of you for listening, and Neil as well. But just thanks for listening for this year of podcasting we've had. I'd like to hear from you guys. I'd like to hear what other podcasts you listen to. I'd like to hear that because that might be interesting to folks, and we might find some other podcasts that some of us would enjoy listening to. So if you would, let us know that. And the other assignment I have for you guys, since we're talking about Professor Brower's class, it would be to call in to our voicemail number and give me some memories of Mayberry Days. I'd like to hear your memories of some of the events that maybe you went to, or the friends you got to meet, or just the time you had to visit with folks while you were at Mayberry Days, if you were fortunate enough to go. I think that would be interesting to all the listeners. I know I would like to hear from you guys to hear that. So if you would, call me at 888-684-8415 and tell us about it. Let us hear what you thought of Mayberry Days. I'd love to hear it. And don't forget about the podcast too. I'd like to hear that, but it's 888-684-8415. And really you can email me, but I'd really like to hear that. But, you can email me at floyd@mayberry.com. I also want to mention, you can go to our website at mayberry.com/podcast and leave comments there. We've also got pictures, giving you all kinds of house cleaning stuff here. Got pictures of Neil with some of the guests he's had at Professor Bauer's lecture that he does at Mayberry Days each year. If you go to facebook.com/twochairs, you'll be able to see the photos there in the photo gallery. I've uploaded photos of Neil with Harvey Bullock, Jackie Joseph, Earl Hagen, just several. So if you just go by and look, I think you'll enjoy at least being able to see. If you haven't ever met Neil, you'll be able to see him and see some of the cast members he's been able to interview. I also want to mention before we go that this past week, on October 1st, the Dillards, the Darling Boys, were inducted into the Bluegrass Hall of Fame. So we want to congratulate them. I was able to speak with Rodney just a little bit about it at Mayberry Days, and he was very excited about it. He was glad he said he was glad they were getting inducted while they were still alive. So I know they were very honored, and it was a big deal for them to be inducted into that. So we want to congratulate them. And there's reports out on the internet about that. I didn't get to go, doggone it. But we're going to be trying to connect up with Rodney and Doug, or some of the Darling Boys there, and talk to them some about their time on the Andy Griffith Show, as well as, you know, I'm sure the induction into the Bluegrass Hall of Fame, that's going to come up in the conversation as well. All right. I believe that's about all I've got tonight. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back on our episode next week for our first episode of year two. So remember, drop by mayberry.com/podcast. Leave us some comments. Voicemail is 888-684-8415. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/twochairs, and you can email me at floyd@mayberry.com. Any of those ways, we would love to hear from you, and thanks for listening. Bye.